all of life is unmet longings, is it not? Tom Brady, in 60 Minutes, several years ago now, get interviewed, and I so respect that he had the courage and the honesty to say the following: why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey man, this is what it is. You've reached your goal, your life, your dream. Me? I think, man, it's got to be more than this.
Welcome to Family Life Today, where we want to help you pursue the relationships that matter most. I'm Shelby Abbott, and your hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. You can find us at familylifetoday.com.
This is Family Life Today. Okay, it's December 25th.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas. This is your favorite day of the year.
Yes, because Jesus was born, but also I love
Christmas. Because you love to spend our money.
I do.
And give our grandkids gifts.
Yes.
And more gifts.
And
more gifts.
And you and friends. It makes me so happy. Is today a good day for you?
Yeah, it is, because of what it is. It's celebration of Jesus' birth. That's great. Now, the giving gifts thing can go a little too far for people that don't need any more gifts. But you know what? Today is Christmas, and it's the most wonderful gift God ever gave us, was the gift of Jesus. But here's the thing. If the end of his life didn't go the way it did, this gift wouldn't mean what it means.
So I have a question for you. If Jesus had never resurrected from the dead, where would your hope lie?
I'd have no hope. I think we all would do what most people do. I would fill my life with stuff or
drown out the hopelessness.
Yeah. I mean, I'd put my hope in things or money or, you know, pleasure or anything to distract me from my hopeless life. I mean, I'm not saying people that don't know Jesus have no hope at all, but what is their hope in?
But I don't know how our marriage would be. I don't know how we would have lasted in our marriage. Do you?
No, I don't think we would have.
Because there's that power source that comes from our relationship with God. Because he died on the cross, because he resurrected, we have power.
Exactly. And that's what we talk about all the time on Family Life Today. And actually, we're going to get to talk about it again today, but we're not going to talk about it as much. We have Dane Ortlund, who we're going to listen to a sermon that he gave at his church, Naperville Presbyterian Church, in, of all places, the suburbs of Chicago, Naperville. His book, Gentle and Lowly, is one of my all-time faves.
He's a good friend. He's a great pastor and teacher. I would hang out with him any day. I think our listeners are really going to enjoy this.
Yeah, and you know, we've had him in the studio, but I don't think we've ever played a segment of a sermon. And so you're going to get to hear him preach about what we get from the resurrection. So we're not going to say anything else. You just sit down, get a cup of coffee, and let God speak to you through Dane.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, some of us find we can't even open up our hearts. So would you do that? Would you do whatever cracking open of our little internal weird universes is needed? And minister to us by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. The book of Isaiah chapter 25, and a tiny little bit of 26 is what we're going to look at today for our passage. The message of Isaiah, as you have heard, is of a God who is bigger than we realize, confronting sin, which is bigger than we realize, with his what we call grace, which is way, 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 way bigger than we realize. And the most definitive proof of that grace is what we're going to talk about today and see in the scripture that God is a resurrecting God. He raised the Lord Jesus. He's going to raise you. Isaiah 25. What I'm going to do, friends, is read all of 25, and then I'm just going to read verse 19 of chapter 26. That's what I'm going to read, and then we'll think about it together and enjoy it together. And let me give you, if you're the note-taking species, the 3 points. Because what I'm going to do is focus on just three verses. We're going to read more of that, but I want to focus on 3 verses right in the middle of Isaiah 25, 6, 7, and 8. Verse 6 tells us that your longings will be satisfied. Verse 7, this was new for me, tells us that your heart will be home. And verse 8 tells us that your pain will be reversed in the resurrection, in the resurrection life. When Jesus comes again and you are given an immortal body, the kind of body Jesus had, according to this passage, those 3 things will happen and can't not happen. Your longings will be satisfied. Your heart will be home. And your pain will be reversed. Isaiah 25, verse 1. Here's what God says. O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name. For you have done wonderful things, plans formed of old, faithful and sure. For you have made the city a heap, the fortified city a ruin. The foreigner's palace is a city no more. It will never be rebuilt. Judgment on the enemies of God's people is the point there. Therefore, strong peoples will glorify you. Cities of ruthless nations will fear you. For you have been a stronghold to the poor. A stronghold to the needy in his distress. A shelter from the storm and a shade from the heat. For the breach of the ruthless is like a storm against a wall, like heat in a dry place. You subdue the noise of the foreigners, as heat by the shade of a cloud. So the song of the ruthless is put down. Now here are the 3 key verses for today. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine well-refined. And he will swallow up on this mountain the covering that is cast over all peoples, the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people, he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him that he might save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. For the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain, and Moab shall be trampled down in his place as straw is trampled down in a dunghill. Moab represents all unbelievers in the passage here. And he will spread out his hands in the midst of it as a swimmer spreads his hands out to swim. But the Lord will lay low his pompous pride, together with the skill of his hands. And the high fortifications of his walls he will bring down, lay low, and cast to the ground, to the dust. Over towards the end of chapter 26, verse 19. Looping back to this reality of resurrection. Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy, for your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. Your longings will be satisfied. Your heart will be home, will come home, and your pain, every single one, will be reversed. First, verse 6, your longings will be satisfied. Look at the text there, friends. Can you believe what God says here? On this mountain, the Lord of hosts, the point is Zion, the place of God's restoration, the new earth, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wine, of rich food full of marrow, of aged wine, well-refined. Throughout Isaiah, there are pairs of things that stand for a totality. It's a Hebrew literary device. For example, you saw in verse 4 there of chapter 25 that God has been a shelter from the storm, number one, and number two, a shade from the heat. Storm, heat. Two weather adversities which represent all kinds of natural adversity. And here in verse 6, the two things, the pairing is food and wine. And not just any food and wine. Look at the way the language is, you can feel it straining to communicate how delicious, how unspeakable, how sumptuous this meal is. A feast of rich food full of marrow, only the choicest foods. Jer and I, my 11-year-old and I, just for kicks, we're looking at the menu of the restaurant that Gordon Ramsay opened up. Maybe some of you have been down there. I haven't yet. After looking at the prices, I don't know if I'll make it over there. Beef Wellington, I guess, is his signature thing, right? Beef Wellington, a mere $88. Maybe I'll go for the wings or something. I think that was 14. We're just scrolling through. Choicest. Every bite in the new earth, so to speak, is like a bite of that beef Wellington, if you like that kind of thing. I don't even know what it is. In the new earth, feasting, wine, food. Now, maybe this is raising a question for you right now. Dane, is this literal? This is talking about an actual meal, banquet. And the answer is yes and no. Yes, we will. It's not purely and only metaphorical. We will be in risen bodies and we will eat and drink in the new earth. We talked about that a little bit when we were doing Hell and Heaven a few months back. We will have bodies. We will enjoy food. God made us to have taste buds. Good. They're fallen, but it's good. Yes, it's literal in that way, but no, in that this verse is using the language and the categories of feasting and food and wine to represent that in the new earth, when God resurrects you, every good creaturely longing is perfectly met.
You are listening to Family Life Today and a broadcast of a sermon that Dane Ortlund gave at his church about heaven, basically.
It's kind of exciting, isn't it?
I mean, we don't talk about it that often. And, you know, as he explains, we often think, you know, it's just some ethereal place we sit on clouds and play harps. And it's so not biblical. And he's walking us through something that gets you pretty excited about the next life.
The reality of the next life that he's teaching from Isaiah 25. So let's hear more.
Every desire, every longing you and I have, that's the point I'm making right now in our first of 3 points, is going to be perfectly, overflowingly, beautifully, 100% met. All of life Who would disagree with this? All of life is unmet longings, is it not? Even the best marriage anticipates a deeper love and cannot give us what way down deep in our soul we are really longing for. Even the most exquisite scenery, the best meal, the perfect job, all the money in the world doesn't scratch that itch in your soul. Think about the best vacation you ever had. Did you not find that even in the best, the height, the pinnacle, day number one, the weather was perfect, you were so happy to be there? I mean, not only did it come to an end, but think back to when you were in the midst of it. Would you not, if you go back and actually examine what you were experiencing, wouldn't you find that there was something mingled with the joy and the pleasure? There was something haunting it. I don't even really know how to describe it. There was a sadness, an ache, a desire. You weren't able, as you sat on that beach or by that lake or whatever is your, just the perfect vacation, you weren't able to swallow it down. You weren't able to capture it. C.S. Lewis in The Weight of Glory, he says, we want not only to see glory and to see beauty, we actually want to pass into it. This is the doctrine of glorification in the New Testament. We will ourselves put on glory. Every human longing will be met on that day. Now, once in a while, we will see the world admit that even when they have it all, it didn't do what we all tend to think it will do in terms of satisfying us. Didn't you see Tom Brady in 60 Minutes several years ago now get interviewed? And I so respect that he had the courage and the honesty to say the following: why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey man, this is what it is. You've reached your goal, your life, your dream. Me, I think, man, it's got to be more than this. This can't be all it's cracked up to be. I've done it. I'm 27, and what else is there for me? And the interviewer said to him, what's the answer? And smiled. He said, what's the answer? And Tom Brady said, I wish I knew. I wish I knew. You all are hearing the answer today from Isaiah 25. Food, wine, God, New Eden, Eden restored, and all your creaturely longings, desires met. In the resurrection, your longings will be satisfied.
This is Family Life Today, and we're listening to Dane Ortlund as he's giving a message at his church in Naperville. What do you think?
I mean, I love it. I mean, he used the football reference.
I knew you were going to say that when he started talking about Tom Brady. I'm like, oh yeah, this is relating to Dave. Let me ask you, you've worked with professional athletes and you've seen some of these guys have incredible success, probably not as much as Tom Brady.
Nope.
But do you think that even for you, Dave, like, does that bring satisfaction when you're incredibly gifted and you've accomplished some of your dreams or all of your dreams?
Yeah, I mean, I've used the same quote from Tom Brady. It's pretty famous because, you know, he's the GOAT.
He is the GOAT.
This was back when he had just won one or maybe his second Super Bowl.
Hmm.
And, you know, it's a famous quote because he's married to this model. He's just won the Super Bowl. And he says, there's got to be more because this is empty. It's like, it's a great quote because you're like, even he feels that this world is not enough. Mm-hmm. Even when you have the best of the best, we were made for another world. So, I mean, I'm kidding that I'm happy that Dane used a football illustration. What I'm really excited about is he is whetting our appetite for heaven. Yeah. And when you and again, he's teaching from the Old Testament, not even the book of Revelation, the Old Testament. And Isaiah paints a picture. He's you know, speaking God's words. This is what the next world is going to look like. And this is what we're made for. The world we're living in now is not our home. And so, yeah, that gets me excited because so often, like we said before, when you hear sermons on heaven, it's not very exciting. And he's saying, no, this is the most exciting thing you'll ever experience in your life. And you were actually made for this.
And when he says your longings will be satisfied, I think about all of us and the longings we have that, you know, that are unmet. Like we think we will be totally satisfied with a great marriage. And it's great. It can be great. But there's still a longing for more. All of it leads to the gospel, to Jesus, that he created us for more.
Yeah, I think, you know, he doesn't get into it in the marriage area, but that's what we're talking about here on Family Life Today is I think every marriage at some point feels disappointed. Mm. I mean, it sounds sad to say.
At some point.
But yeah, you're let down by your spouse or you're let down by what you thought marriage would be or your kids would be. And we think there's something wrong with that. And it's like, no, that's the world we live in. No person, no marriage, no child, no amount
idol.
Of money is ever going to fulfill you. I've said many times, idols never deliver. Mm. Never. They never give you what you thought they would give you. And we do that in our marriages. And we feel like because my spouse has let me down, I married the wrong spouse. And what Dane's getting at is we weren't made for this world. You didn't marry the wrong spouse. You're looking in the wrong place.
Let me ask you this as we close. Like, what's an application we could take away from what we've listened to today? What do you think?
I mean, for me, it's what are you looking at? Where are your eyes gazing? Are you looking at something in this world or even at your spouse to be the ultimate in your life? And let me tell you, your spouse can be great. Yeah. And this world can be great. There's a lot of pleasures and, you know, gifts that God gives us. He mentions food and feasts. Those are incredible.
Yes.
But at the end, they will let you down in some sense. And I think the application is, where are your eyes? Mm. If you're looking at something on this planet, some creation to fulfill you, you will be disappointed. If you look up and put your eyes on the Creator, you will not be disappointed.
I think the thing I thought for myself was, what are my idols? It's the same thing you're saying. But when I think of idol too, my thought goes to, what am I thinking about the most? Or what am I worrying about the most? As I look at that, and man, sometimes it could be my kids, what they're doing. It could be my marriage. So I think that'd be a good application, even to think through this. What am I worrying about the most? And where do my thoughts go most of the time? And then ask yourself, could that be an idol? And am I trying to get my needs met and my longings met through that? Or am I getting my needs and longings met through Jesus?
Well, guess what? That was only point one of our 3.7.
Yeah.
All preachers have great 3 points, and the last two are usually the best. So tune in tomorrow. We're going to hear the rest of this sermon.
Yeah, and all I can say is tomorrow will be a great second part to Dane's message. It's Christmas Day, and so enjoy your time celebrating the fact that our risen Savior came as a baby today. We get to celebrate that today, and he is alive right now. Tomorrow, Dane's message is going to talk about restoration and hope through reliance on God's grace, culminating really in this comforting message, and that's this: you're gonna be okay. That's coming up tomorrow. We hope you'll join us. On behalf of David Ann Wilson, I'm Shelby Abbott. Merry Christmas, and we'll see you back next time for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a donor-supported production of Family Life, a crew ministry, helping you pursue the relationships that matter most.